Well, great. I want to get right onto the subject. We've got so many guests this evening, and certainly such an important topic, and such a positive look at a word that often speaks fear. So, having said that, I'd like to welcome Deanna Sedwicks, a Pro President from Provo, Utah, and and honorably, I say, the mother of HCE here in the United States. A very warm welcome to you, Deanna.
Thank you.
It's a delight to have you with us, as always, and we have a very special topic tonight, don't we?
We do. We're excited to share it.
We are. Great. And you have invited a special guest to join us as well this evening, haven't we?
We have. Stacy Sprinkle, are you there?
Yes.
And so I started looking at my downline printout, and I thought, who is this Stacy Sprinkle? It's one machine, and we get a printout of who buys, and I go, and she bought here, and she bought here, and she bought here. She bought five machines her first month individually, and so I had to find out who Stacy Sprinkle was, because she's like five generations down from me. I says, okay, I'm Deanna Sedwicks. What is happening? And so she started to tell me her story, and I think nobody better to tell it than Stacy. And so we've asked her to go ahead and tell her history and her story and why she's, and you'll see why she is so turned on with the HTE products.
Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you, and thank you, everybody, for having me this evening. It's a honor and a privilege to talk to everybody here tonight. I'm a breast cancer survivor. I'm 37 years old, and I've had breast cancer twice. And I'm going to tell you my story from start to finish, because it's just so you guys know what I went through and the place I had to go to get to learn about HTE products. Back in New Year's Eve of 2003, I stumbled upon a lump in my breast accidentally. I was ringing in the New Year with one of my best friends, Allison, from the Annapolis, Maryland area. And I thought, well, what's this? And, well, on January 7th, this turned out to be ductal carcinoma in situ with lobular features at 35 years old. This is a fancy way to say breast cancer in the medical world. Needless to say, I was scared and willing to do anything the doctor said in order to save my life. I'd been a pharmaceutical rep for the past 10 years, and I was really up on my medicines, not chemo drugs, but medicines that are taken every day by patients to get better with whatever symptoms they're having. I had a lumpectomy and a sentinel lymph node biopsy. A lumpectomy is a way to preserve the breast instead of doing a mastectomy. And the sentinel lymph node biopsy is to see if your cancer has spread to the lymph nodes in your armpits. I got worse news after this surgery. The cancer was in my lymph nodes. I was also told I needed another surgery because I didn't have clear margins around the tumor. They also told me I needed to have an axillary dissection, which is total removal of all your lymph nodes underneath my arm, as well as another lumpectomy. Well, I did refuse the axillary dissection because I knew I was going to have chemo. I felt that I needed to keep my lymph nodes so that I wouldn't get lymphedema, and I also realized that the lymph nodes are how we fight infection on a daily basis. And I just said, you know, God put these lymph nodes here. I want to keep them. And everybody thought I was crazy to do that because we cut cancer out. That's the thing we do is cut it out. You never leave cancer because it'll grow. Well, on February 16th, I started chemo, and I was on a dose-dense program, which is chemo every 2 weeks instead of every 3 weeks. And this was a new protocol that they were given, especially young cancer patients and cancer patients that had really aggressive tumors. And my tumor was one of the most aggressive that we have. And this would get me through treatments in 3 months versus 4 months. So let's hurry up and get the chemo out of the way. The first cocktail I received was Adriamycin and Cytoxan. And what a thing to call chemo a cocktail. There's nothing exciting about you know, chemo, but they call it a cocktail to make it sound better, I guess. I had to sign a consent form before I started my chemo that basically told me that if I went into cardiac arrest, there was no one on location that could revive me. However, they called a rescue squad, and they could help me. It also stated that patients have died from this treatment from the very first dose, and that I could die too. And I said, yeah, less than 1% of patients probably die. This is standard and customary. No problem. So I signed away. After all, I'm a pharmaceutical rep, and I told doctors adverse events and how they were less than 1% of the population, you know, was affected from them. So no problem. I'll sign the form. Well, after my first chemo treatment, I was in bed for 7 straight days. I did not want to eat anything because of the nauseousness and my fear of vomiting. And I was sick continuously after my first treatment. I also felt like someone had beaten me with a baseball bat from head to toe. And this was every day during my treatment. The pain I was in made the flu-like symptoms seem like nothing. My eyeballs even ached. My hair fell out a month later, and my limbs and body blew up from the steroids and the chemo. And they call this I'm drawing a blank. I just blew up from the chemo and the steroids. I had tree trunks for legs, and my clothes no longer fit me because of the swelling. I noticed after every chemo that I got weaker and weaker. Every treatment knocked me down a notch. And I had 4 Adriamycin and Cytoxan treatments for the first round of chemo. Just after Easter, I was to start my final round of chemo, and this drug was called Taxotere. I was given 4 treatments of this drug as well. And I remember crying on Easter because I was so afraid of taking Taxotere because how bad I felt on the Adriamycin and how sick I was. And I knew in my gut, my intuition, that this was going to be a really bad drug for me. The consent form was a bear. It was absolutely unbelievable. I'd never seen anything so threatening in my life as far as signing my life away. It stated that I could die instantly. It also listed all of the life or death side effects that were much worse than my first cocktail of chemo. The side effects like anaphylactic shock, neuropathy in the hands and feet, sudden death, every single side effect was just horrible. And I cried and cried and cried sitting there in the chemo chair thinking, am I going to die from this? And I told the nurse, I can't sign this. I can't do this. I can't do it. And I had brought a friend with me who was also a pharmaceutical rep that told me basically to sit down, shut up, and sign the form. And so I did. And I was right. This chemo was a lot worse than the first chemo. I was in bed for 2 straight weeks after the first treatment and was able to get up and go in for my second treatment. And I was extremely sick. I was so sick that anything that touched my skin would burn. Anything. If you touched me, I would just grimace from the pain. And the pain was so bad I'd sweat from head to toe, and I just couldn't even put sheets on me. Everything tasted bad after this chemo. I couldn't eat. I had no taste buds at all. And the nauseousness from this drug was even worse, adding to my problem of not wanting to eat. The swelling got worse, and my feet and hands started to swell. My feet and toes were just absolutely enormous. I had to wear flip-flops. I was out of breath every time I made any effort to walk anywhere, do anything, and my doctor continued to give me chemo. I developed neuropathy in both hands, which is a pain and a numbness that would just radiate from my hands and my fingers. And after the first treatment, I noticed the numbness, and after each treatment, it got worse, worse, and worse. My hands became numb from the middle of my wrist down to the tips of my fingers. It was really hard for me to do your basic things like to brush my teeth, to hold a fork. I had to do everything with paddle hands. It was hard to drive. It was hard to just do anything, you know, basic. I wouldn't hold anything that I could drop or break. I did manage to break a couple cell phones and a day timer that was electronic from dropping them. I just couldn't feel them in my hands, so I didn't know how hard to grasp. I just dropped everything in fight and just couldn't help it. And my doctor continued to give me the chemo. Well, I did make it past my fourth chemo of the taxotere, and my doctor was real concerned. He even admitted to me that he thought that he had permanently damaged my hands from the chemo and that they may never come back. And I had such a bad experience with this chemo. And I talked to my surgeon about going ahead and having a bilateral mastectomy because I never, ever, ever wanted to go through this again. I just couldn't do it. So I scheduled a bilateral mastectomy, and if you guys don't know what that is, that's having both breasts removed. And this took place on July 7th of 2004, a little over a month after the end of my chemo treatment, which was May 22nd. And after that surgery, in the next 6 months, I had three more surgeries for the reconstructive process. And this was all at, I was 36 years old when this took place. Well, after my last reconstruction and my healing from that, life was getting much better for me. This was January of 2005. I went back to work full-time, and I was doing really well. I started doing something called hot yoga, which is yoga in a very, very warm environment. Usually the room will get to 110 degrees, and I started doing this four times a week. This made my hair grow back, and the fluid in my body started to reduce due to the sweating. And as a result of the hot yoga, the feeling in my hands started coming back from the sweating and all the different yoga moves that I did, and I was real grateful for that. After I started feeling better and looking better, I decided to leave the pharmaceutical industry because I just didn't feel in my heart that I could keep doing that, you know, after my experience. And I just reevaluated my life and thought, well, maybe it's time for a change. Updated my resume, ended up leaving the company that I was working for, and I went to work for a medical device company that sold breast biopsy equipment to diagnose breast lesions that were either benign or malignant. And I work with now radiologists and surgeons. And with my equipment, they diagnosed breast cancer. And I started with this job the beginning of June. And I got out of training July 1st. And territory, August 1st. And you can imagine how overwhelmed I was at this time with learning new medical devices, learning a total new industry from the ground up, learning new territory and new customers. I wasn't getting much sleep with all the traveling that I was doing because I had most of the state of Virginia. And I was trying to introduce myself to my new customers, and it was keeping me very busy. As a result, I wasn't getting a lot of sleep, and my diet at this time wasn't very good because when you're that busy, you just grab what you can grab and eat for fuel, and I didn't really focus on nutrition at all. Well, one of my local hospitals was giving away 200 complimentary mammograms in the Virginia area for Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October, and I got a phone call, and I was delighted that they asked me to go on TV and give an interview. Well, my final comment in my interview was to all the women, don't forget to get your yearly mammograms if you're over 40, and for any woman with breasts, you need to do a self-examination every month at the end of your cycle, and no one's exempt. No one. Make sure you get it. This saved my life. Well, I had not been doing any of the monthly self-exams because I had my breast removed, and I'm exempt, or at least I thought I was. And on Halloween, the last day of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I decided to check myself and not be a hypocrite, since I did give that advice to all the women that were listening in the area. Well, believe it or not, I found a lump right next to my reconstruction. I decided not to let this bother me, and I went to bed. The next morning, I went to work at a big breast center in Hampton, Virginia. The staff noticed that I was not myself and asked me what was going on, and I broke down crying and confessed to finding a lump. Well, I was in the ultrasound room in the next 15 minutes getting the area scanned. The doctor told me it was probably fat necrosis from my reconstruction, which is very, very common when your breasts are reconstructed after a bilateral mastectomy. And then I probably didn't have anything to worry about. And she just pleaded with me not to worry. And she recommended a mammogram in that area to confirm that it was fat necrosis. She told me that fat necrosis looks a certain way on a mammogram, and if it was fat necrosis, that I definitely didn't need anything, that I didn't have anything to bother, you know, worry about. The doctor told me that the area did not look like fat necrosis. It looked like a mass, and I definitely needed a biopsy. I went back to my surgeon, and on November 4th of 2005, I had an open surgical biopsy. The next day, my surgeon confirmed that it was breast cancer, and he said it was a different breast cancer, that I now had invasive lobular carcinoma. You can't even imagine the disappointment and the pain and anger and everything else that I had, because I did everything these doctors told me. I did everything they told me for the year 2004, everything. And I couldn't believe it. For 5 consecutive days, I had a migraine headache from just being so overwhelmed with everything going on. And on the 6th day, I woke up and said, I'm not going to let this cancer take my joy. And that's when everything changed for me. On the 2nd day of my diagnosis, my surgeon told me that I needed to contact my oncologist and see him immediately, and I did so. I called his office, and his staff was extremely rude to me, told me that my doctor was not seeing patients until December 4th, and I told them that I needed to see him, and they just told me that I couldn't see him. And I told him that I was his patient, and their attitude was, so everybody is his patient. And I told him that I had breast cancer again, and she said, oh, is this Stacy Sprinkle? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, you're on our list to call. Well, I ended up seeing my doctor the next day in the hospital, because that's where he was working, rounding. And he was very, very upset that my cancer had come back and told me I needed to get my life in order. He suggested I do chemo again, and he told me that I could also choose to do nothing, that it's very, very dangerous when a cancer comes back and someone as young as me at 37 years old, that, you know, the prognosis did not look good. He ordered a PET CT scan for me for the following Monday. Well, when my mom and I left the hospital in tears, I told her that I would never, ever see him again because he did not believe I would get well. She was very taken back and stunned by my comment because he helped me the first go round. I told her that I needed to have doctors and people in my life that knew I would beat this. Well, in the meantime, after finally not letting this cancer take my joy after the 6th day of my diagnosis, I heard in my head, by your faith you are healed, by your faith you are healed. And I also heard the song Onward Christian Soldier, that was one of my favorite Christian songs growing up, because they're marching off to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. I heard this over and over and over in my head. And I prayed to God. I said, what does this mean? Please help me. Please help me. Bring people in my life that are going to help me. I had my PET CT scan on November 12, 2005. Knowing my doctor would be unavailable for the following week due to him taking his oncology state boards, I went to the patient records at the hospital and requested a copy of my scan interpretation. They told me that I would receive it by the end of the week. Well, I ended up receiving it on Saturday. My mom and a close friend were visiting me when I got the results. And my friend happens to be a nurse. We read the letter out loud and stopped when we saw metastasis repeated over and over and over again. My mom kept saying to me, "Is everything okay?" She knew by the look on our faces that things were not good. I said, "Mom, things are going to be okay. I just know they are." And I didn't tell her anything at the time. I went upstairs and called my cousin, who is a radiation oncologist, who's been treating cancer patients probably for the last 20 years. He graciously came to my house and looked at my scans and my interpretation, and he looked at me and said, "This is very serious." He took my scans and reports because he wanted a colleague to look at everything to give him another opinion for me. In the meantime, my father's wife wanted me to get a second opinion from a doctor in Indianapolis, Indiana, who specializes in recurrent cancer. She had had a friend who had breast cancer twice, and she's doing great thanks to the help of this particular doctor. So I booked my trip the next day. I had a colleague in Indianapolis pull some strings to get me an appointment with a doctor that my stepmom's friend had seen, which was kind of hard to do, but she got it for me. And I still, in this meantime, have heard nothing from my oncologist regarding my PET CT scan. I didn't get a phone call from him until December 1st, 2005. And in the meantime, I'd had a consult in Indianapolis and had found a new oncologist here in Richmond, Virginia. And to be a little mean, I didn't call my oncologist back for a couple of days and acted real coy about everything and said, "Oh, I hadn't heard from you. I thought everything's okay." And you can imagine the surprise he had on the other end when he had found out I'd been to two other oncologists and taken my own health into my own hands. The new oncologist that I saw was suggested by my surgeon, and she was from Duke University out of North Carolina. She had completed her fellowship there and was an attending physician there for over 4 years and had recently relocated to Richmond. So I made an appointment for the following Monday, November the 23rd, to see her at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, in the meantime, I prayed and prayed to please bring people into my life that are going to help me beat this without taking chemo or radiation. And my friend Allison, who was with me when I found my original lump, called me on the phone and told me about a wellness coach in Cumberland, Maryland. She said, "You know, God impressed upon me to get you to call this woman. Her name's Mary Miltenberger, and she's got a wellness center." And I asked, "Well, what does Mary do?" And Allison said she does a detoxifying foot bath. And I said, "Well, what's this like?" And she said, "Well, you put your feet in water, and she uses this machine. The water starts out clear, and it turns to mud. And this is the stuff coming out of your body." And I immediately got excited and said, "Well, what's this mud?" And she said, "It's toxins that, you know, are coming out through your feet, through the pores in your feet." And I said, "Have you ever seen this happen?" And she said, "Well, yeah, I was at her center and saw other people doing it." And I asked her, "Well, did you ever have a foot bath?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, I think I may be interested in this." And she said, "Well, it doesn't stop there. She's also got all kinds of other equipment, all kinds of other alternative equipment that, you know, may help you as well." Well, my heart began to flutter. I got butterflies in my stomach. I got so excited. I couldn't sleep that night. I wanted to call Mary immediately, but it was 11 o'clock at night, and I thought that was kind of rude to call her that late at night. So I thought, "Well, I'll call her in the morning." And when I hung the phone up with Allison, I said, "This is the answer to my prayers. This is what I've been asking God for. I could just feel it. I knew it." And Allison told me that she prayed so hard for answers for my illness, and so I just decided to call Mary the next morning. It was Monday morning, November 23rd, and I was filling out the paperwork for my new oncologist. I waited until 8:30 in the morning, and then I finally called Mary. I didn't want to wake her up too early, so I thought I'd wait until 8:30 to call her. I went outside and started dialing my phone. Mary was so nice to me on the phone and concerned that I was a farmer rep for the past 10 years and that I was waiting to talk to my oncologist. I think Mary thought she didn't have much of a chance with a farmer rep who was about to see her oncologist, because a lot of chemo or a lot of cancer patients are afraid, and, you know, we rely so much on what the doctors say. We think the doctors are gods and, you know, they're going to fix us. And I don't think she thought she had much of a chance with me, but I asked her to please take me on as a, you know, as a one of her, I'm not going to say patient, but a student to detoxify and to learn about what she does. And the enthusiasm was off the charts, so I couldn't wait to get to Cumberland, Maryland. I told her I'd be there by 5 o'clock with my mom. She said, okay, great, come on down. Well, I had a great visit with my oncologist. She was very warm and friendly, and she was a couple years older than I was, so she could totally relate to what I was going through.